Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Uncle Shafat, I'm doing really great this morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful sunny day here in the Indian South Coast here. So it's amazing. Yeah, I'm doing quite good this morning.
Arun, it's great to have you. And, you know, your good friend, our good friend, Kamda has gone on his, I don't know how many, 16-foot yacht, and how many people jump onto his yacht to go out and do fishing in the Indian Ocean. But I hope he didn't make a wrong decision, because this morning, Ibrahim, it was sparkling clear when I gave Boniface the weather report. I said, clear, beautiful, tranquil Durban. As I look out from my Pingo studios, hey, the clouds are gathering and a little bit of breeze is coming. Do you think Adam should pull up anchor and come quickly back into the bay or into his, what they call that thing in the marina there in Durban, Ibrahim?
The mooring, yeah. No, you know what? For me, deep sea is not for me. I tried it many times, but the seasickness is too much for me. So I'll go into the harbor, but out in the ocean, just the slightest of breeze causes the boat to rock so much. But you know what? It's many factors that make the guys sick out at sea. Number one is the constant rocking motion. Your body, you know, struggles to adapt to the whole thing that your body is not still. It's constantly moving. And obviously the smell of the diesel that's going through the engine, as well as the bait smell. Sometimes it's boiling hot like this today. The bait is out in the open. It's rotting. Fish is starting to smell. You start to feel nauseous. And yeah, maybe you should come back, man. A little bit of rocking can cause some terrible seasickness.
Hey, Brian, you put me off for good now. He's been inviting me. Again, hey, Shafat, when you coming? When you coming? I say, I'm coming. Now, I say, I don't want to go through that. It's like going out there and get ready. I mean, I sailed on a ship, on a cruise, and that was, you know, they had the worst of weather, Ibrahim. The ship was rocking from left to right, right to left. It was, you know, they call it listing from this end to that end. And everyone got the ulti that day. Yeah. But I remember playing table tennis in that condition with someone, and because I was addicted to my table tennis. But anyway, when you look at all those scenarios coming through, and the fishermen, you know, they look for excuses to go out, but alhamdulillah, they do enjoy the fishing. But looking at, you know, the accolades that you got catching your hammerheads and doing what you did best at that time, and we got you live on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and everyone enjoyed you. Whilst you're talking to me, your late uncle, I don't know if you remember him, Farooq Salehji. Farooq Salehji was a great fisherman. He was quite I think he was your grandfather's brother, if I'm not mistaken. And one day, Farooq was on a ski boat, and I actually did a live interview with him. And there he was, and he was, you know, he caught something. I don't know, it was a red Roman or something. And, you know, everyone listened to it, and they said, hey, Farooq, but he was so game to come on air. Something like you, you know, always a word in season, you know, Ibrahim. Where did you get this, you know, this lovely habit of being efficacious, of embracing people, of engaging people, and perhaps becoming a people's person, Ibrahim?
You know what? A lot of this whole thing is a culmination of different aspects of different people in my life. You know what? The fishing part of it, I would say, I got from my grandfather. I do remember the instances very, very well that you are talking about, where they used to go fishing. As a matter of fact, my grandfather that was fishing, actually, he and Farooq went out a lot. And being a kid, I used to remember coming out and helping Dada pack away some coffee for the night session. He even told me the night before my father got married, he told my grandmother he's going fishing, and he came back with two massive salmon that they actually ate at my father's wedding. It was quite a funny story because he collected from my grandmother. And you know what, Uncle Shafat, I did something silly like this myself. When I got married, on my honeymoon, the next morning I went out and I caught two shad and I came back, much to the displeasure of my wife.
Great, great indeed. And what, like a grandpa, like grandson. You know, they like say like pop like son, but you're like your grandpa. So I get to know that, you know, the family. I just know them. I can see your grandfather right in front of me. You're the regular Musalli at the Zapingo Beach Mosque. And I also recall your uncle. I don't know if you remember him, the late Dawood, your father's brother. Do you recall him?
No, unfortunately, I had no recollection of him. But I know my other uncle from Port Shepstone. He's also a great fisherman. My uncle Ismail from Tekentay is also a great fisherman. So those people I obviously remember quite a bit. And obviously from my mother's side as well, my Masaji and my other uncle are quite from Kokstad, as actually quite good fishermen. And they were one of the first people that instrumental in buying me my first fishing rod. I remember them being super patient with me and instilling this love in it for me. So yeah, those people instilled my love for fishing. And I would say, you know what, my openness, I would say, came from school, being encouraged onto stage, obviously, and in madrasa as well. So yeah, a bit of combination from all of that there. And Uncle Shafat, you also played a great role in my life, you know, as well. You encouraged me, you saw potential in me, and you always give me chances. And all I need is a chance, and I can shine from that.
I tell you, you're flowing. You're flowing. Come here, let me hug you. Nice, tight hug for you. 10 million people can see it. Can you see how I'm hugging this young man? Because I, you know what? He simply is the best. And the way he, mashallah, he comes on air, he's confident. He doesn't stutter. He's not even lost for words. And he tries and brings back the past. And this is how we learn. We learn from the history. You know how important it is to know your past, to know how do I get to the future. Like when you read the Noble Quran, you know, Ibrahim, you get to know its meaning, you get to know the history, what happened during the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, what happened there during the time of Lut alayhi salam, when Musa alayhi salam went and spoke to Pharaoh, or to Pharaoh. And today you find this world is in two camps. You're either in the camp of Pharaoh, or you're in the camp of Musa. Which one are you in? You know, these are the stories that come through. And now this is what motivated me. And inshallah, Ibrahim, I want you to get deep into the deep end of getting to know the Quran. And mashallah, it's going to add to your broadcast. It's going to add to your, you know, the influencing that you're making today. You will definitely do it in a manner that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most. Moving on, you know, looking at a Saturday, looking at a Sunday, looking at the long weekend. People talk about long weekend. But as a businessman, there's no long weekend for you. You open on holiday too, Ibrahim.
I did actually open on the public holiday. I opened on Friday and Saturday. But you know what? Today, my father doesn't want me to chase the money. So he'll tell me, like I say, Ibrahim, you're not going to take the money in the grave with you. Why do you want to work on Sunday as well? Don't make the same mistakes he has. Now, remember, I love experience for the elderly people because they've been through the whole channels of life. So they know that killing yourself, working after the money is obviously not the correct way of doing it. So spending time with your family. So today, you know what, I'm taking my family out to the farm, going to have a look at some animals, doing some fishing at the farm. But today we're targeting, obviously, freshwater fish at dams. So we're going to target your bass and your carp and your, and obviously tilapia, using, you know, worms and trying different techniques out. But you know what? Building memories with your kid, because when you're growing up, they're going to remember what their father did with them, you know, as memories, not only what they bought with them, but the quality time spent together.
Ibrahim, you make me think very deeply indeed, because alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I did spend a lot of quality time with my children, but not only with my children, but the kids of the neighborhood. I mean, I was a cricket coach, the table tennis coach, the soccer coach, the tennis coach. I used to take, you know, I had my microbus, and I'll take every kid in the neighborhood and take them for training sessions. And at night, I think I was one of the first ones to put up floodlights to play cricket under floodlights, and the whole neighborhood used to come. And up till today, when they see me, say, Uncle Shaf, and these are big men now, you know, they've got children. They say, hey, there's our Uncle Shaf, our coach. And, they, you know, they generally call me coach for that. And I'm glad that I did that. Even with the mosque, I used to have, you know, I must have been 14 or 15, get the young Musallis and the Muazzin, Ibrahim, who is now in Malawi, is retired. And we used to run after Maghrib around, you know, Outer Circuit Road, up Tiger Rocks, left turn again, and up 2nd Avenue. And, you know, and when we came up 2nd Avenue, as to make everyone run backwards. And we were all fit and done things like that. But those were beautiful, beautiful days indeed. And Jazakallah khair for reminding me. And I think the teachers that teach you, especially the teacher that or the madrasa teacher that taught you Alif Ba Tha, and then the teacher that taught you Abak Ha Tha. I don't know how they do it, but all that you will never forget, you know, because they are part of your foundation. If that foundation wasn't strong, then you wouldn't be, you know, eloquent and strong today. But what I want to talk about, Ibrahim, is you talk about freshwater fish and maybe the saltwater, but when it comes to brine fish, you know, when you brine the fish, tell me the difference of brine saltwater fish. I mean, maybe it's more tastier compared to a freshwater fish. Take it and bring it alive, Ibrahim.
100%. So, you know what? There's the main difference, I would say, between saltwater fish and freshwater fish in cooking method is I find that the freshwater fish has more of a sandy texture. Obviously, remember, the water is not flowing. The fish, the food source itself is not, it's stuck in mud and obviously disgusting. So I feel that it transferred. You know the principle of you stand around the fire, you smell like smoke? I use the same principle to describe the meat. Now, if you were to braai fish, you know what? My personal opinion, the best fish to braai is a saltwater fish, and in fact, the Dorado. The Dorado is also known as mahi-mahi, or the chicken of the ocean. Now, the reason why I chose that particular fish, remember, it's a predatory fish, but more importantly, it has only one center bone. There's not much smaller bones in it. So the meat itself, you're getting chunks of flesh, but no bones in it. It's quite creamy in texture, delicious, especially with a nice garlic, lemon butter and garlic sauce as well. So yeah, that's what I would suggest.
Absolutely. And, you know, when it comes to a braai fish, you know, braaiing the fish, it has its own way. But for me, you know, I love putting the fish into the oven with lots of, you know, butter on it, and then squeeze freshly, fresh lemon juice over it, and maybe, you know, a sprinkling of honey later on, and having the fish just like that, or make some wedges, you know, deep fried wedges, and you put some salt and vinegar and your tomato sauce on it and your mustard, and you know, make it like that, greasy indeed, and then have that lovely baked fish next to it, and I can do justice to that. What about you? What's your views on baked fish, then having the brine and the smoke coming all over you and messing your hands, and then you have to put the brine stand off and you have to dig a hole and clean? Talk to me about that, Ibrahim.
So what you just spoke to me about the oven fish took me back to me being a kid. So I remember my uncles, my grandfather used to go fishing and used to come home with a fish, and I was in charge of cutting open the stomach, cleaning up the fish and giving it to my grandmother. So what you're telling me now really put a huge smile on my face, because it took me back right to my late grandmother, because what she used to do is similar to what you said, but the only difference, or I would say, she used to have these pieces of bread into the tray of fish as well. So it used to suck up the gravy, to become crispy. It was like a croton almost. So it used to suck up the, so she used to tell us, take the bread with the gravy and eat it with the fish. So it just makes the fish a lot more crunchier, and obviously adds flavor to the bread as well. But me personally, I go back to the old Salaji tradition of machi and rotla. So saying machi and rotla usually means a fish and a bread, or like a roti sort of thing. So yeah, I like that day in the chutney, and I just think it's, for me, I feel like it, as it matures, even the next day, the leftover, it's absolutely stunning.
Hey, Mota, I'm not going to call you Motla. There's another Mota listening to us. I say, Mota, you know what? Ibrahim loved that rotla with the grandma made. Now, Ibrahim, you know, I get the feeling when you talk about your paternal grandmother and your paternal grandfather, it seems that you were the pet, if I'm not mistaken. I don't want to make others jealous, but it seems like you were the pet. Am I correct?
100% correct. You know what? It caused a lot of rivalry within us. But you know what? I used to remember, I used to be here every single day. My grandparents were my life. I remember clearly, you know, when eating a fish, now being on a fishing show, this is up to what we are saying. So when you're having a fish, the usually the most tastiest part would become closer to the tail, because that's where there would be lesser bones and more flesh. I remember clearly being a kid, I mean, I was younger than 15, and my grandmother used to say, you know what, give Ibrahim the tail. And everybody's uncles would say, we caught the fish, and you know what, Dada is here, and give him his father. Why are you giving it to this young kid? He's saying, every single day when you're all sitting at work, who's sitting and giving me company?
So, wow. Yeah,
my grandmother used to appreciate those who spend time with her, not just give her money, but obviously come home and spend some time with her. And it was actually a lot that I learned from her. And a lot of my wisdom or my confidence came from being around elderly people, because I believe that she passed through the channels of life, and she learned things, and she obviously taught me, because in order for me to progress.
You know what? You even took your grandmother's blessings. I can see it. I can see it all around you, and mashallah, you really resonate with me. I'm going to share something with you, Ibrahim. And I was my grandmother's pet. That's on my paternal side. She loved me to bits, and whatever I asked my grandma for, she just bought it like that. Daddy, I want a bicycle, I want this, I want that, and she did it. And when I lost her, when I was about 15, then grandma made parda. But I really felt a vacuum when she made a parda from this dunya. My grandfather, Sher Khan Dular Khan, was an educator. He built the Stanger Secondary School in 1920 to 1940. But I was his pet also. And he gave me the name of Shafaat Ahmad Khan. So both you and I have something in common. As we round up, Ibrahim, some tips for fishermen that are going to fish during this silly season. What to do and what not to do, Ibrahim?
I feel like, you know what, the summer season, there's a lot of target species that you can target. But remember also that there are going to be people watching you. And also remember to be conservative. You got people, we are fishing for the future as well. We all have kids, or inshallah, we'll be having kids in the future. We also want them to be part of our ecosystem as well. So I feel like a lot of the guys are catching way in excess of their excess limit, of their catch limit, especially with shad. So I'm saying, you know what, think a little bit about the future. There is enough in the ocean. When you want fish again fresh, you can go in and get some more as well. And obviously, if you want to target the bigger fish, or you want to get into the hammers and obviously bigger sharks, now is the perfect opportunity, because they are biting at the moment. So yeah, but make sure your tackle can handle it, because otherwise the tears are really painful. They actually burn as you lose your money coming out into tackle and rods and reels. So yeah, prepare properly, and you know what, inshallah, the results will follow.
Brian, before I let you go, you know, you looked at, I saw a picture the other day, I don't know how recent it was, but look at our river mouth, you know, Swingo Beach, I'm talking about the lagoon there. Dead fish all over, and you can just smell chemicals upon chemicals. No one's doing anything about it. How soon before we lose our estuary there, Ibrahim?
Oh, it's terrible. I went there, and you can see dead fish all over the place. They bloated up. You know what? Being a kid, I remember my first ever kingfish was caught in that river. I used to catch it on a piece of bread and a small hand line. I caught it in that river there. But now you go there, your heart just breaks, because firstly, it's polluted. There's animal bodies around there, chickens and all of that stuff there. And the smell that's coming out from there, I feel like, you know what? That river needs to be completely flushed, and obviously maybe those that are responsible need to be taken to task for it. But I can't foresee anything happening anytime future. I don't suggest anybody catching any fish from that river. But you know what? I can't see anything happening anytime soon.
Yeah, because the ammonia levels are so dangerous. One scientist told me, you know, Chef, if you're going to have that fish from that mouth of yours, that estuary of yours, you're going to die within 30 days because of the ammonia levels are so toxic. And then, Ibrahim, you told me about kingfish. Is it the same thing as king clip?
No. It's completely different. The kingfish is actually one of the fastest predators in the ocean. It's the one that's almost oval-like, and it has its their very rough tail, almost like a spire, you know what, a ridge line on its tail. It's known for being extremely predatory, and grows up to be quite massive as well. I actually caught just a juvenile that was growing up into the river. But no, that's completely different from king clip.
Now, Ibrahim, when I go to the restaurant, the kids come and they say, hey, come, Dad, man. I say, hey, The best chow is at home, man. No, let's go. So that, and I'll sit there and say, what do you want? All right, I'll say, get me a bed of rice with some king clip. And you know what? I simply enjoy the flavor with the sauces and all that. King clip, where can I catch king clip, Ibrahim?
Well, king clip, if I'm not mistaken, is caught in deep sea. So yeah, it's caught on those big commercial trips because it gets eaten so rapidly. If I'm not mistaken, that fish is caught in deep sea, yeah?
Okay, so and how's your taste buds for king clip? You like it?
Oh, you're making me hungry this morning now. This morning, yesterday, didn't even start properly. Now I want some king clip on a bed of rice. Uncle Shafat, I hope you're happy.
Hey, I tell you, I've been, Auntie Sabia made the most delectable kalyo yesterday, right? It was mutton kalyo. Color, you'll see the color, it'll like you this one to dive into the pot, and with lovely fresh naan and the salad. I tell you, we really enjoyed it. The flavor and the aloo, you know, the potato was just like melting moments. And then she took her time to, fry the onions and fry the potatoes. And, you know, it was so much of TLC. So, my breakfast this morning, guess what? You tell me what it's going to be, Ibrahim.
You know what? So I told you in the starting of the show that some foods taste better the next day. And the kalyo, you're gonna smash that thing. There's no second. I feel sorry for that kalyo. And I feel sorry for Sabia ma'am as well, because I don't think you'll leave anything for her.
No, it's there. It's a cat like that. Wow, one nan is mining that the other nan. So, you know, if Nani is listening, hey, Nani, you can join us too. Ibrahim, your parting words this morning.
You know what? Just like again, once again, to all the followers, I really appreciate the support. And you know what? As I said during the show, time to make memories, not only chase the dunya, not only chase the money. Sometimes the memories is more priceless than all of that there. Jazakallah once again to all the followers.
Jazakallah khair, Ibrahim, and I'll just end up with the Urdu couplet. Dunya dil se lagakar, dunya se kya milega? Yaade khuda ki unko, unko khuda milega. Har cheez hai mitne wali, kya hai khwab ka bharosa? Ye dunya aane jaane, kya hai maut ka thikana? Ibrahim, you have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. Inshallah, we'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.